Three, two, one. Anthony Darby.
Chuck Henn.
Special guest, but not really a guest.
Donnie Jackson.
Welcome back. Hey, guys. This is episode 14 of the very first season. This will be the end cap, kind of the season finale, if you will, to our first season. Looking back, it has been really amazing to have just like such a high level quality of guests in season one. Think about all the different topics that we dove into. And really for us, like, it was just a great experience.
Yeah, I think we didn't know what to expect coming into it. We did a couple test episodes. Some of them went pretty good. Some of them went pretty bad. But I think it's been a great experience, and we've taken a lot of what we learned, and we're trying to apply that both technically and just us as the hosts. So I think there's a lot of cool things down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, I watched episode one, and like the audio, the production, like Brandon Bell's game has gotten significantly stronger. He's gotten some more tools, and I'm really excited for season two, because you're going to see a standardized backdrop. You'll see some more professionalism, hopefully a little bit better quality in terms of how we produce these things. And then also something that I'm excited about is we're going to also make them a little bit more interactive. So you'll see watch parties and more opportunities for folks to be able to interact in these podcasts with Chuck and myself and our guests as we have them. So I just wanted to provide a quick wrap up. Like I said, this will be the last episode in the season one batch. We'll take about a 3 to 4 week hiatus while we work on the set for season two and getting the final guests lined up for season two. And then we'll look to do about a 10 to 14 episode run. So really exciting. We have on Donnie Jackson. So if you're familiar with PAH, then you are absolutely familiar with Donnie Jackson. He is a patient consultant that we have had in our roster from day one. He's also one of my very best friends. And I've known Donnie for a really long time. I wanted to set a little bit of a premise for a couple of things. So as always, there's going to be changes at Peninsula Alternative Health. We're constantly changing and evolving, and to the point that we said we've always done it this way, I think will be the time that we have a new CEO, because I hope that I never have that mentality, and I hope that I never feel like we've done enough. I always want to continue to evolve and build our business to a model that other people try to follow and emulate, not something that we just try to copy others. When I created this model, it was really important to me that I didn't have bud tenders. Coming from a bar, restaurant, hospitality industry, and being a bartender, it had nothing to do with the knock on the service industry. I love bartenders. I think they do a great job. I mean, it's something that I still am a bartender. If for some reason, earthquake came and PAH shuts down and I have to go find a new job, I can go anywhere in the world, as long as they got a bar and a couple bottles of booze behind there and make myself a living. So a
couple natural lights.
But this, I wasn't trying to create a natural light. I wasn't trying to create a bar, right? Like, I really wanted this medical facility, and I thought even the name Bud Tender was not in line with this clinical model. So we had patient consultants from the very beginning. At one point we were in white lab coats. I mean, we were maybe a little over the top to prove a point that this was true medicine, and this was not something that was like a recreational head shop or dispensary you'd find in California or Colorado. That role was really great when we had 30 patients a day.
It was awesome.
I served that role. I mean, for patients that have been here from the beginning, there's a lot of patients that when you came in, Anthony Darby was your patient consultant that day. I turned through a ton of patients. But I honestly think that, like, by the time that we had our first 100 patient day, which was like our first 420, so about 5 months into the business, that's when my time started declining in terms of seeing patients. I had other stuff that, you know, other needs in the business that were required of me. So what we saw was this, the role of the PC or patient consultant, it kind of transitioned to needing to feed two services. So one, it still needed to serve this clinical role and differentiate itself from a bud tender or from the patient experience that someone might find from another dispensary. But you know, with over 250 people walking through the door every day and sometimes over 300, it also had to serve the need of a queue or a waiting room that was quickly filling up. And I think those two needs constantly pulling at the PCs, it's proven to be really difficult, right?
It's definitely stressful. You know, if you have any mindset of taking care of people, it can get tough.
Yeah, and I think the premise of today is I kind of wanted to share with folks some of the real life behind the scenes of what it's like to be a patient consultant, because the transition that we've had at our dispensary has all been around the patient consultant role. And it's, you know, just like there's roles within the hospital settings where, you know, certain roles, you know, I say anesthesiologists, right? It's a harder role than most in terms of burnout. Veterinarians, right? A high level of burnout, high level of mental health issues, suicide, things like that. These folks that are in a health services role that also have really high demands, it's incredibly taxing. And that's exactly what we found in our dispensary is we treat our dispensary and our patients with the highest regard in terms of that interaction. And when someone comes in and they have cancer, or they have whatever story they bring to us, and we want to engage with them, and we want to be able to take the time and really make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to utilize the tools within our dispensary to treat those patients. We also have to be mindful that people just kind of need to get in and out. And I think what we lead up to is we need to separate the two. We need to be able to pull those more in-depth patient interactions outside of the actual retail floor of the dispensary and pull them out. So kind of give folks an insight of, like, you know, what's it like when you first come in the dispensary in a day? Like, what, you know, what are you guys kind of doing?
So first thing in the door, obviously we have to get the sales floor ready for any patient to be there or any visitors. So bringing product out, special boards, a lot of cleaning, you know, just keeping things high and tight.
There's a lot of chat around, like, what products are in, right? Like, a lot of what's
big time. As we all work through the day, if I'm putting something on the shelf, I'm talking about it, especially if it's something new.
Yeah, expect on the product side. I know since we first opened, Donnie, while we're on it, a little ad hoc. What does our product menu look like now compared to what it was when we opened? And how in the hell do you, as a patient consultant, keep track of that in your head? Because it changes every single week. There's new products that filter through. People, it's just the cycle of the business. So I'm interested to hear how you guys deal with that.
So I can remember first day opening, we had a small, maybe 3-foot by 2-foot table, wooden table. We had a couple packs of tablets.
Oh, the rolly one, right?
Yeah, the rolly table, yeah. A couple packs of dissolvable tablets, maybe an elixir, a couple eighths of bud.
We always try to go through this. We think there's 5/8. It was jelly bean juice.
Shark shock.
Shark shock, strawberry something, right?
Yeah, and something else.
Northern Lights.
And there was a couple.
And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, was it all Curio?
Yeah, all Curio.
It was all Curio.
Okay. And you had your 100 milligram elixir.
Yeah.
The half and half.
Yeah. The Awakening Relaxing Tabs.
Awakening Relaxing and Synergy.
And Synergy, yeah.
Synergy were twice as much, remember? Because you had CBD and THC.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so that was when we opened the door.
Yeah.
But there were days, like, honestly, I remember there were days where all we had was Golden Tiger. One strain, and it's a crazy sativa, so...
For sure, yeah, buckle up.
Don't come in here with your anxiety issues.
Yeah, no, huh?
So, I want to get into that a little bit later, but to Chuck's point, just even if you forgot everything you knew about cannabinoids and terpenes, just trying to understand what products we have coming through the door at this day and age. I mean, I know that we get beat up a lot because we roll through products.
Yes, yes.
But it's not that we don't bring... And we bring more products through our door than any other dispensary in the Eastern Shore. We just roll through them.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing when you have 3,000 plus patients and you get 30 something of one item. Yeah. And it's, you know, everyone wants or needs that item. And it's just tough, you know, if you're not there at the right time. Like, I feel like our dispensary, you got to have the good timing to
yeah, you know, get and those honestly, some of that is our fault and infrastructure issues, like our ability like to carry products sometimes is honestly it's limited by our vault size.
That's, yeah, but I still think at that point it doesn't matter how big our vault is if
we're gonna run through,
go through it regardless, and everyone's not gonna.
Curio comes out with 36% Wizard Punch. Like, I don't care if you have 300 of them, you're gonna sell through it's, 300, right?
Yes, yes. You might and sell through those to the first person with that allotment. I mean,
you're right.
Yeah, some of these items are just highly, highly effective.
And the other, and to their point, like there are, we're not the only dispensary in the state. There are 80 some licensed dispensaries, and they only produce a so certain much, amount yeah. of some items. So we're only allocated, you know, a certain amount of some item too.
All right, so you guys are getting set up, and typically, like I said, when I walk through, you guys a lot of times are discussing products, and then I guess you know we started, we opened the doors, right?
Yeah, so we basically transitioned directly from getting the sales floor ready to taking patients, and then at that point, you never really know what kind of day it's going to be. I mean, it could be a day where you don't get a lunch break. It could be a day where you don't get a drink of water because it is literally just patient after patient after patient. And a PC's responsibility, we want to take care of everyone. You know, I'm not going to go take my lunch when there's six people sitting in the waiting room. I'm going to take those six people in the waiting room.
And that that mentality is probably one of the reasons why it's such a high burn role. Is because we do it with such passion. But that's also why we deliver the product that we deliver. It's because our PCs aren't going to do that. They look at you and they know that you guys are at need and they're looking to serve. So these aren't loaded questions, but I'm just curious from your standpoint, and they're not going to be statistically accurate, but just from your point of view, right? If you see 50 patients yourself in a day, how many of them are new faces versus how many of them are people that you're pretty familiar with? Like, you kind of know what they want.
I'd say maybe at most maybe 10% are new patients. I mean, we have some days that really surprise me that I look at my queue and it's another new patient and I'm just holy moly.
Because you know the names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so Donnie knows. He's known his customers. He knows his patients. Like, mm-hmm. He always knows. He's got a good memory for that, like an elephant. So when you're, like, when, you know, and a lot of our PCs are like this, but as a patient, you know, when they see your name in the queue, like, they know, like, they're already thinking, like, mm-hmm. How do I serve, like, this person?
Yeah, this person needs a big indica for sleep or pain or, you know. I'd say maybe 75% of our whole patient base, I see their name and have a good idea of what they need.
Yeah, if we had to play, like, what's the condition?
I got you. I'd be the winner.
That's so funny. All right, and then how many of those patients are actually, like, needing, like, your consultation services at this point? Because if we know 80% of our patients by name now and only 5% are going to be new patients, then that means that a lot of the folks that we're seeing every day, you know, have been coming to us now for a while and kind of understand where we're at, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think of that patient base? I mean, how many of those are really needing?
I'd say 5 to 10% confidently. You know, there's every day is different, but I'd say, you know, 1 out of 10 people actually needs to sit down and be guided.
So, and I think that's where I'm at. And I think that that's where the business has grown to is that when we very first opened our doors, it was so much more of, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I remember the first time learning the word terpene, right? I mean, it was probably 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, probably 4 years ago. But we had, I mean, that was, we walked in and our patients came in and you start talking to them and teaching them about terpenes. And we were like the method of truth. I mean, we were dropping knowledge. And now they're so self-educated and we've done a good job of providing them opportunities to learn in our dispensary that, like, the level of conversation for those folks has evolved that, quite honestly, a lot of our patients could be, you know, could do it. They could guide patients.
I couldn't tell you how many times I open the door to the waiting room and I hear a patient talking to a new patient or a naive patient about terpenes and other things. You know,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Some CBG, and he's some CBN. Like, yeah, wow, yeah.
What do you say? That's awesome.
And that part is great. So I think the problem that faces the Maryland market overall, and we've talked about this in a lot of different genres, is for new dispensaries, because of the way that they are still treated by being federally illegal, taxed horrendously, and regulated by the MMCC, and just the way that modern medicine is, dispensaries are not in within those guidelines of the retail room is not the best place for these consultations to be happening. You wouldn't expect to go see the doctor and they say, well, just go to Walgreens. And when you get there, ask the pharmacist, like, what you should be getting, how much of it you should be getting, what you should be taking, and what you need. That's not traditionally how patients are treated. And because of those characteristics, as I mentioned, the dispensary, that's not the best place for it to happen. So we believe that outside of that sales floor is where the patient services part of what we do should happen. And we think that we can do a better job of that if we start identifying patients that are looking for those extenuated services, pulling them off the retail floor, so that the patients that are the majority, 8 out of 10, that know what they want, that have a familiarity with what they need, and that really are just more on the product selection route, let's make sure we're serving those folks, because that's still the majority of what we have. But the smaller population, the 20-25% of patients that actually need a higher level of services, we've now launched this new patient services division with Donnie as our now patient services manager to make sure that we're doing a better job of setting this up. And the basis of the patient services is going to be a real interdisciplinary approach to patient management, where we're going to do a better job of being able to interact with certifying providers, with pharmacists, other healthcare providers that are part of this team of creating wellness outcomes, so that we're not really setting ourselves up for failure like we are today. So today, if there's no education given in the very front, and a patient just comes to us and they're nervous, and let's be honest, maybe our waiting room is loud, or maybe our retail room is loud because maybe there's 8 or 10 people in there, and maybe there was a line in the waiting room, so the patient consultants are doing the best to serve the 80% and also be cognizant of the 20%. That patient may not be able to share as freely the information that they need to share for us to properly help them out. And then that may lead to poor product selection. It could lead to them not getting the health outcome that they're trying to achieve as quickly as possible. I know that if we do a better job at the front end before they even think about purchasing a product, and guiding them and having that conversation around cannabinoids and terpenes and cannabinoid-based medicine, and then sending them for product selection, I know that those health outcomes are going to be better. And do you agree with that?
100%.
And I think that's why, for me, I'm excited to move you into this new role and to start playing with the concept in our dispensary of not just accepting that patients have to be in this middle area, and really trying to address that need and saying, look, as we often comment, cannabis is a tool in your arsenal as a patient. If you have mental health care issues, you can't just expect to never speak to your mental health care provider, to never go to a counselor, to not change your diet, not do anything but come into our dispensary and just get the right strain. Like, that's not how this works. But if our patient services team is in direct connection and speaking to your mental health care provider to manage the drugs that you're currently taking, along with your cannabis use and your therapist, and monitoring and seeing that you went to yoga twice last week and you're on the right diet plan, this really interdisciplinary approach is how we're going to actually change health outcomes and really make a statement. And it's something that I really believe in, and I just think that, you know, I'm excited to have you, Donnie, as to help execute with Dr. Hoffman and I in this new initiative, and serve as a precursor to patients that, you know, you're gonna to start noticing some changes at the dispensary, as always, and it's meant for the greater good, and it's meant to be able to better serve patients that need a higher level of care than we can provide within that retail floor, but then also ensuring that the patients that still come to me and say, my biggest thing that I need from you is to provide me with a safe and quick way to access my medicine, and then I need to be out the door and on to whatever's next, is something that we're being mindful of as well. And I think, you know, something that I'll say along with that patient services thing is underutilization of CBD. You know, I think with a lot of our patients right now, because THC is all the rage and because there's all this expansion of brand new products and diamonds and concentrates, and sometimes myself included as a staff, we get so excited about these cannabis products that we forget about some of the need for CBD. And we recently did kind of a patient review, and we were looking at successful patients and negative patients. And one of the things that we realized is that with the successful patients, there was almost always a regimen, a steady regimen of CBD. And we have a really, really quality product in our Peninsula Holistic CBD. And we're going to be working over the next few weeks to be able to get that available within our dispensary so that our patients have better access to that. We've done a poor job providing our dispensary patients a really easy and manageable way for them to just be able to make that purchase. We think that we have the ability to do that. We have to, obviously, regulatory guidelines that we have to, and boxes that have to be checked. But, you're going to hear more mentions of CBD use, and it's going to be a higher focus at our dispensary as we realize, and you know, that it's such a key role for these folks that are having much better outcomes. And sometimes I think with, like I said, it loses its priority because of some of the newer products we have in the dispensary. But I think it's something that we can focus on more. Kind of wrapping back up and taking a few minutes to just do some more image painting in terms of what it's like being the PC. What's your favorite part about being a PC, or what's like some of your, maybe one of your favorite experiences so far?
I mean, just the general ability to help someone, just to give someone a little insight on how to live a better quality of life. I mean, I'll take that home with me every day, man, over a paycheck. I mean, that's soul food. You can't really, there's no better feeling.
Is there a patient that sticks out as like,
man, there's so many, man, so many. We have an elderly lady, maybe 70 years old, who came in with a walker. First couple days, she had a really tough time buying into cannabis. She had some really derogatory things to say.
Is this my lady?
Yeah, which I could tell was a just a sign that she didn't believe in it, you know.
Derogatory. But, she kept calling it dope.
Yeah,
she yelled at me in my dispensary, and she's the only person that's ever successfully refused my right of refusal.
I wish everyone could have experienced it. It was a pretty awesome moment.
So, I remember because I actually asked about this lady. She literally, she kept calling everything dope, and she was really frustrated by her pain management doctor that he even made her come in. And it was my belief that at some point was at least suggesting that he was going to reduce some of her current medications. And I honestly, to Donnie's credit, as being way more patient than I lost my patience with her. I didn't think that there was anything that I was going to be able to do to make her happy, and I told her that I was going to exercise my right of refusal, and she told me no. We ended up we got her out that first day with some product.
Yeah, she purchased product that day and left with cannabis.
And how long has she been a patient now? Since the beginning,
she,
you know, right?
She was just like week three or four.
Yeah, it was very beginning.
Yep. So she's been a patient now for almost 2 years.
And this is the same patient who will be at the door first. I mean, I see her often. She's there early and often. She's there happy with a smile on her face, bright and cheery, which is pretty
cool.
And
I guess because she's had the health outcomes that she's been looking for, right? She's in way better shape, like more.
Absolutely, yeah. Her mobility, at least to my knowledge, you know, she gets around a lot easier. Spirits are extremely high all the time. So.
That's another, like, and it's weird too, because this is something I didn't realize, and I don't know if any of us realize this going into it, it's like the spirits part of it. Like people come in and buy a product, but a lot of times you find yourselves in these personal relationships after a while, right?
Yeah, all the time.
They come in more for the conversation and to get, you know, for that elevation in life, for like to have somebody to confide in and talk to. And it's like, it's a lift, not only because you couldn't even, like, I feel like half the time some people would walk out there happy enough with the conversation that they would forget that they were there to buy weed.
That's so cannabis. True, man. So true. The vibe in our dispensary is happy, go lucky, just everyone takes care of everyone, everything's okay. It's really cool vibes. Really cool.
The mental connection part was honestly, that was the part that I couldn't handle when I did PC. So I worked every job in the dispensary. My least favorite was probably security because I have ADD and I was just stuck in that box.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I was probably the worst at cashier because you can imagine. And then...
God, nobody told me they let you be fucking cashier.
When you had a payroll staff of four people, we had a busy day of... Oh, yeah. I won't even say, but
just had to get it done.
At that point, I was everything and anything. It was whoever called out sick that day and whatever needed to be done. It wasn't efficient, Chuck, I promise you. But we made payroll. So the emotional connection I would make with people, and it's very seldom that someone shares with you like their pain without like the struggle or like what came behind it. And I remember before we got into the industry, like when I say like before we opened our doors, talking to one of the growers who came from New Mexico and he had a dispensary, and he was telling me the story about a PTSD veteran that only leaves his house to pretty much come to his dispensary. And that story was like so profound to me, and like I was like, that's so amazing that like your dispensary is just like one place that like this gentleman comes, and then literally within 9 months we got our own patient just like that. Pretty similar. Doesn't leave their house very often. PTSD. But our dispensary is a place that they feel comfortable, and it's a place of solace to them.
I mean, you have more than one of those, brother. I can tell you that. There's a handful of patients I could think of right now that are, they don't socialize. They don't go anywhere. They go to their doctors. They come to the dispensary. That's it.
And when they're at the dispensary, it's almost like they're part of normal. They get like reacclimated to life for that.
For sure.
Short duration that they're there. Right?
And as a PC, it's, you know, it's pretty amazing to see that person talk to the person in front of them in line, or tell someone they like their haircut or nice shoes, you know, because I think it takes a whole lot for that person to open up and say those things. You know?
I agree that we, you know, my fear was that, and like, so when Mary Pat was prepping us for like what we may run into, quite honestly, the pharmacies, they deal with a lot of the worst. They really do. They deal with people whose insurance companies are cutting off their medicine. They have people that are addicted to opiates. I mean, the bad patients at pharmacies can really, and they get, you know, they just have chronic, they have different issues than we face so far. But our patients, it's like the opposite. Like, I'm amazed at how we see the good in them. It makes me sad sometimes to know that our patients aren't good to people outside of our dispensary is anywhere near as good as they are and to treat us. And I think that's a testament to this culture that we've created. And I really wanted to, it's funny, like even Donnie and I, we obviously have a lot in common now, but the thing that brought us together, I think more than anything, honestly, was cannabis.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And a lot of us cannabis users that have been cannabis users have always found this camaraderie and this bond with, like, I benefit from something that you benefit from that kind of everyone else thinks is like this like horrible thing. It was almost like being like an insider trading, like we know something that like other people don't. And in our dispensary, a lot of times, like, it's kind of cool to see patients that some of them are bonding because they're both going through struggles, you know what I mean? They are going through similar challenges, and they see our place as a way of bringing them together. But some of them, it's just the plant itself. It's just the plant.
Yeah, I agree.
What's the saddest thing that's happened in our dispensary?
I mean, just for me as an individual, dealing with loss of patients has been trying. I mean, and also seeing people not find that path that they need as quickly as they need to, you know. It's
some of that is frustrating. Like, so the worst thing that's happened, I think, is the passing. And yeah. And that's happened a lot more often than I thought it would have, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
I think partially I didn't think we'd have as many patients as we did, so some of it's just a numbers issue, but also some of it is now that we've gotten the respect in the community, we're seeing more severe and more significant cases within our dispensary, and quite honestly, some of these folks are coming to us at the very end, and they're in hospice, and by the time that we get them, our goal is comfort. It's I remember PCing and waiting on a hospice patient and asking them how much they needed and them telling me that they had roughly 10 to 14 days to live. And I was just like, I've never served a patient where I'm basing it off of how many days of life they have left on this earth. And it was just like, that fucked me up. Like, that whole afternoon, like, I just kept thinking, I was like, man, like, I don't know. It was good in some ways because, you know, if you don't take that and think about how lucky you are and start counting your stars and looking at your kids and doing all that, then I would compel you to do that. But it's also at the same time, if you don't feel something for that person, then, like, you know, that's a challenge. And we had a patient that passed away that was showing signs of progress and was spending, like, an absorbent amount of money in our dispensary. And to see that that wasn't, you know, that we were unsuccessful in the final outcome that day. This was a while. This was almost probably a year ago. That day was pretty rough from like an emotional standpoint. I think the other thing that from an emotional standpoint that's draining sometimes is the frustration of people not doing what they're supposed to do.
Oh yeah, those are tough patients sometimes, especially when you. Like you said, the perspective of having a patient who needs help big time and is not, you could tell they're just not, it's not helping them, you know. It's hard to deal with that guy who's coming in complaining about a 30% THC strain that's not 36%, you know.
Yeah, and he's got pain, but he won't listen to any terpene talk.
He's not taking CBD.
All he cares about is, he's not taking CBD. Yeah. All he cares about is high THC. Yep. And even, like, you know, we had a mom that just kept iterating from the protocol we set out for her son. And we started showing some signs of real progress. And then all of a sudden, like, we lost any type of repetition, any sort of process. And the results that we achieved were quickly diminished, and we were kind of, like, back to zero. And I think to not know... And then there's sometimes where we just try and we don't get it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, someone comes in with migraines and we can't figure it out. Like, seven out of 10 people come in, they're going to help with migraines. Donnie Jackson's sitting in front of me right now, and there's times where we can't address his migraines. Like, I would love to be able to have something that took away 100% of your migraines, but we don't, right? And that's the fact that sometimes cannabis works sometimes and not others, and the lack of data around it sometimes makes it really frustrating when you have a patient and it pulls on your heartstrings when you have a patient in front of you who's really compelling in pain and need, and you're not able to help them out. There's some amazing success stories too, though. I mean, I think that's what, for me, it's that's what I had to understand was, and even honestly in this position, is not taking the highs and the lows, because they're so high and they're so low. I mean, there's times where people will talk to me and make me feel like I'm like the most amazing person in the world, and there's times where you'll be dumb and read a comment in a Facebook group and you'll think that I'm the scum of the earth. So it's easy in our dispensary when you're treating patients, it's easy to feel really powerful sometimes, and it's easy to feel powerless depending on the patients and stuff. And I just think that I'm really thankful that you will be dictating kind of the flow of how we treat patients and our patient services side of things. And I'm just so happy the way that you've taken ownership of our patients. And when I read weed maps, it's like, you know, it's tough to say anything bad about Donnie when you look That's at the cool. weed maps review and see everyone's so happy with what you've done. So
I appreciate everybody's feedback, man. I try, and anyone who walks through that door, I try and touch them in some way, shape, or form.
Anything else that you want to share about the role, or you're excited about?
I'm extremely excited. I've been here, like Darby said, I've been here since day one. I've got
before
to see
day
it.
One.
Oh yeah, before day one.
We were in planning stages in Donnie's Jackson, Donnie's garage.
Yep, so many times he'd come over, pop in for 20 minutes, and give me the updated scoop. And for me, it was just all just
no update.
A hope yeah. and a dream.
But there's a lot of that.
I need a ball game, Donnie. Boy. There's no update. I'm broke.
Some things don't change over time.
Hey, man. It was always good. Always good, man. So seeing everything come to fruition is awesome.
Yeah, and so I guess what kind of ends, what patients can expect is if you're disappointed because you think you're going to see less of Donnie, you should still be seeing a lot of Donnie. But Donnie's going to be more kind of floating around, making sure that the patients that have more persistent and escalated conditions and need a higher level of service are taken care of, helping kind of direct what the junior consultants are doing, and more floating. So they won't be stuck behind a little 2x2.
I'm a big guy to be stuck anywhere, man. Yeah. If I'm stuck, man, be scared. Someone's got something to worry about. even if I was in the same position, man, I love it to death, man. I love everyone I work with. I love all of our patients, the good days and the bad days, man. I'm
really thrilled that all of our patient consultants do such an amazing job based upon feedback that we get from patients. And it's truly humbling to be able to provide such an amazing place for so many people. I mean, the numbers that we're doing in terms of patients served are incredibly compelling when you think about versus like a pharmacy or a doctor's office or something like that. And to know that it's all out-of-pocket pay and that people are doing it because they want to and they're making the choice to do so. This isn't something that's being forced upon them. It's amazing to me. I mean, it's what keeps us up to driving and trying to achieve our new goals. So our patients should be excited about, you know, the future. And just what's to come. If you guys have been enjoying this podcast, and keep an eye out for season 2. It should be dropping in roughly around Halloween, just before Halloween, for our next season. And Chuck, anything?
No, I was going to say, just stay tuned because we might drop a few video
clips
definitely
gonna
stuff
be
like
stuff
that.
In
we're definitely
there.
Not going to disappear.
Yeah, we're not going to disappear. But the truth is that honestly, we have over 15 hours of content now. And I haven't seen it all, yeah. So I'm assuming that you guys haven't either. So we need to do a good job of making sure that there's some gold in there. So if you're, you know, if you're missing us, then go back and review some of those podcasts. Make sure you watch the whole thing. I know that we're working with Brandon. We're going to be pulling out some highlights. We're going to be doing some viewing parties on Facebook and Instagram, which will allow you guys to interact with us. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to do things, but in terms of the new set and us getting all fancy, I would say right around, you know, mid-October, Halloween, for the first one of those episodes. As always, Canna Convos on Instagram, Canna Convos on Facebook, and Peninsula Alternative Health. Donnie Jackson, thank you so much for coming on again, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man.
Signing off.